Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, Impact family and friends. It is a privilege to be here with you on today. I am pleased to say that our pastors, Anthony and Rhonda Crawford, are getting some much needed rest. They are well, they are whole, they are spending time with their family, but this gives the opportunity for me to stand before you today and to just continue the series that God has placed in our lives at this moment and this time. My name is Lone Bostic. I am a part of an amazing leadership team here at Impact Church. So the show can go on even while our leaders, our pastors, are away getting rest. And so we're going to just continue on in this series called My Healer. And I don't know about you, but this series is a game changer. God is Jehovah Jireh, which we were just singing about. And Jireh means provider. But he doesn't provide just in time. He provides in advance. He sees ahead and he makes the provision for us. And so that's what he's doing with this series, My Healer. He is making provision for us for the things that he knows either are in our lives trying to come our way right now, or he sees it down the road and he's giving us the provision to be successful, to be triumphant in every area of our lives. So I just know if you're like my family and you like my friends, that there is not one of us, I would dare say, that doesn't have someone in their lives in need of healing. And we're not talking about just physical healing, although that may be many of the examples. It can be spiritual healing. It can be emotional healing. It can be mental healing. And it could be any of those healings. And I say that each one of us probably has an area in our lives that could use some attention where healing is concerned. Another thing that God has just placed on my heart in preparing for this is that some of us may have the temptation to become complacent, that we have seen God's activation of his power in the area of healing in the past. Well, he's given us this beware, this watch out, that even if we operate in the principles of faith and health previously, this is something that we cannot let slip. Because if we're not vigilant, we can forget. Faith is like a muscle, and it needs to continue to be exercised. So let's not make the mistake of feeling like we've heard this before, or that it's for other people. So if you remember last week, one of the keys Pastor Rhonda gave us is to be honest where we are. So just understanding where we are and understanding where we can go in God. So I would be remiss in not starting with the review, because we have to continue to rehearse these things in our hearts and in our minds. So Pastor Anthony mentioned that all of us in the past, no matter what, if we had something, some symptoms or something that have come up, there would be an expectation or a desire to be healed. Everyone has this expectation. No one says, oh, well, I've got these symptoms, I'm feeling sick, so this must be the way it is. No, we have an expectation, and if we were presented with the opportunity, we want to take being healed. And so we just need to understand that we instinctively have this desire for health. And I guess, who would have placed that desire in our hearts? It would be our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, the one that made us, that placed that desire in our hearts. So our foundation scripture for this series is Exodus 15, 25, and 26. And it reads, "So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it in the water, and this made the water good to drink.
It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. He heals us. He's already healed us. And we know that when he was speaking in Exodus, it was under a different covenant. So our covenant, the covenant of grace, gives us all the benefits of the previous covenants and more. So we have an expectation of healing for those that are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The core confirmation or affirmation that we've been operating under is just as God desired healing and physical freedom for the children of Israel, his disciples, the community, so is God passionate about healing us and healing our loved ones and restoring us from every place that we hurt. So, Jesus is our primary care physician. So a primary care physician is the lead person on the medical team that is the orchestrator of what happens when and how and gets the different research involved, accesses the different people involved on our care team. So Jesus being our primary care physician means he is the orchestrator. He is the one that puts everything together for our good and for our healing. On last week, we talked about winning the tug of war, trusting God and connecting with the provision of health and healing he has already provided for you. So we saw the tug of war play out right here on last week. And we know that belief triumphed in that example on last week. And it will continue to triumph in our lives as well. We talked about varying degrees of faith, that there are different levels of faith. The first one being no faith. And the example was the disciples in Mark 4:40, where Jesus calms the storm when the disciples could not do so. The second level is a little faith. And that example was Peter in Matthew 14 and 31, where Peter walked on the water. And he walked on the water, but it was brief. He started out walking and then started to sink a little bit and had to be bailed out. But the faith was there to start him out. And as I was looking at that verse, the Lord reminded me, so I'll remind all of us, that is how our faith can be if we don't continue to exercise it. We can start out, we can see the results, but at some point we start to sink a little bit like Peter when we start to look at what's going on around us instead of keeping our eyes focused on the one who made us walk on water in the first place. And so the third level is great faith, the centurion in Matthew 8 and 10, the Roman officer in the healing of his servant. He asked God to speak, or Jesus, operating as a man anointed by God, asked him to speak the word only, understanding authority and how authority works. He had the greatest faith in that he could find in the area. And just as a side note, that wasn't even among his people. So for us as believers, don't let us let those that don't believe get more out of God than what we get. So now let's go on today to some additional information as it relates to healing. And so the title of this part of the series is called Just What the Doctor Ordered. So I looked up what that means, and it says it means exactly what is wanted or needed. You're getting exactly what you want or what you need. And so that is just what God is to us. He is exactly what the doctor ordered. And guess what? He ordered healing for us. I know there's some people that think, well, maybe if it's God's will to have it, God's will is for us to have healing. because he said he wanted us to have shalom. He wanted us to have peace. How many people are feeling in a state of peace when they're dealing with some symptoms of sickness or disease or relationships that are not going the way that we think they should go? There's not many people operating in peace at that moment. So that's not what God called for. He called for his shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. So healing means everything is in place. So here's a couple of questions that may come up as it relates to healing, and then we will seek our Heavenly Father for those answers. The first question, what role, if any, does diet and exercise have with enjoying God's provision of health and healing? Now, before we go to the scriptures, I came across something that, I don't know, just resonated with me. And it was a statement. And the statement said, brain cells die, skin cells die, even hair cells die. But fat cells must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they seem to have eternal life. I don't know. Maybe it resonated with you too. They seem to stay around a little longer. But let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So we know godliness is at the higher priority, but it does state that physical training is good. And a lot of times when we were talking about that Jehovah Jireh providing in advance, the diet and exercise we can look at as Jireh provider in advance, getting on the front end of the battle to be victorious whenever something that comes up to try to challenge our healing comes up. This is more of a proactive role. A lot of times we find ourselves in a reactive role after something has already happened. But this is part of the regimen that helps us proactively, preemptively strike back at the enemy. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. 16 and 17. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God himself is present in you. No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred, and you, remember, are the temple. So that is a reminder, first for me, and then for all of you. So just those things as it relates to diet, what are those things that for those of us that are connected with God and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside, he talks to us spirit to spirit as it relates to the food we eat, as it relates to when we eat the food, how we eat the food. So let's just connect and listen on the front end. The same is true for exercise, getting it in, getting it done. I'll say amen for us. Amen. Glory to God. But you can get in on it too. So this doesn't mean that everyone has to conform to some preset size or weight. But we all have a responsibility of being good stewards of our bodies. Exercise and diet are instrumental parts of that stewardship. So just like we want to be good stewards of external resources, our finances, everything else that God blesses us with, these are internal resources that we want to be good stewards of as well. So here's another question for you. What role does medical science play in God's plan of health and healing for you? So if you ask the average person, if you ask the average Christian, if you ask the average non-Christian, you probably would get a myriad of answers, all on a different range of the spectrum. There's people that believe that medical science has no place. There are people that believe medical science has the only place that matters. And then you have people somewhere in the continuum. So God is so amazing in how he orchestrates things like a beautiful symphony if we are paying attention. So a couple days into beginning to prepare and understanding that this was a topic, I was having a conversation with one of my closest cousins. And we were talking about the fact that at the age of 14, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And he told me, and I knew all of that because we were close, but he told me something that I didn't know before, but was very timely for now. He told me that when he was in the initial stages of his diagnosis, because he was a teenager and I'm younger than him, about 3 years difference, that they went to 3 different doctors and there were 3 different diagnoses that they were given. And so the first outcome that he received was that he had 12 months to live. So with the wisdom of God, his parents went beyond that first diagnosis. So the second diagnosis was that he had something else. It wasn't leukemia, but it was debilitating, but it wasn't fatal. And then they went and got another diagnosis or outcome. The third physician that they visited said he would be all right. And that was the exact words, he would be all right. So what happened to him? So he's now 51. And he's been cancer free since he was a teenager. So what happened was his parents identified with outcome number 3. And they never even told him about the first diagnosis. He found that out after he was declared cancer-free, whole, and well. So that is just a lesson before we even get into the scriptures, that what we identify with is what we can potentially become. So we want to be careful and be sure that we identify with the things that God says about us. So let's look at Exodus 31, 1 through 6. Then Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth, and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers." So, a personal note on this, to be able to do this with fabrics and skills is definitely a talent and a gifting from God. So one of my children has a uniform and I was getting ready to iron it, to put it on them. And when I looked at it, it was a small little hole. So I went, because I took home economics many years ago, and I got my sewing kit and needle and I tried in a quick 5-minute fashion to close that little hole and make it wearable for the day. And let's just say that I am not crafted of God, a master at every craft. My gifting is in another area. But God gives people special gifting, special anointing. When he endows you, you are endowed indeed. And know that every single person here, every single person online, God has gifted you as this master at something if we submit to the wisdom that he gives us. If you look earlier in that scripture, it said He is filled with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom and ability. So there are many people out in the world with ability and talents, but it is the wisdom of God, the one that created us, that we have to follow in order to be considered the true master and become everything that he created us to become. So that's a side note. We're now bringing it back to talents. And let's bring it back to the medical field, the question that we were talking about. James 1 and 17. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. So just like we talked about those master craftsmen, medical science and medical providers are endowed and gifted with a talent from Almighty God. The example I just shared with you, though, came out three different types of outcomes, but all of those individuals received a gifting from God when they were born in this area. So what's the difference? The difference is the wisdom of God on the inside and the working of that wisdom in understanding each particular scenario. So that is what medical science, that is the role that they play. They have gifting from God. They have knowledge from God. And we can tap into that knowledge, but we also understand that they're not the originators of that wisdom and knowledge. It's coming from the source. So we have to connect to the source and use those medical professionals as resources. So God inspires and gifts women and men to provide valuable service to humanity, including those in the medical field. Medicine and medical treatments are inspirations from God that we can use in conjunction with our faith to connect with God's provision of health and healing. And then just what we just talked about, use medicine and medical treatments. However, let's anchor our confidence in God and his promise. So, wondering about the Bible. So, an interesting note, Luke, who is credited with writing the book of Luke and Acts, is listed in Colossians as a physician. And more specifically, in Colossians 4 and 14, he's mentioned this way, Luke, the beloved physician. Now, isn't that interesting? So he did a lot of his traveling with Paul. So Paul was also endued and embodied the Holy Spirit. So he was able to speak and things happened. So when he experienced things, he got snake bite by a poisonous snake one time. He just spoke to it and let the little snake go and went on and lived. They thought he was going to drop dead, but he said, nope. I know whose I am. And he kept living. But I wonder, so if you are rolling your crew rolls like that, why would you need a physician? So the physician, and it says he was beloved. So I was thinking about all the things that happened to Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten to the point of death. I think at some of those times, he may have needed the assistance and help of Luke on those journeys. But we know because he is the author of Scripture that he had a wisdom that connected him to the Spirit of God. But that's just my part thinking that he must have been needed along the way, somewhere along those lines. So physicians can be beloved and medical teams that support the physician. So I thought it was interesting that I would get this topic as I work for a hospital, and for many, many years, I'm still in HR leadership, but for about 10 years, my specific role was to work as the HR leader with the physicians of the hospital. So I work with physicians all day, all night, week in, week out. So just in my interactions with them, I have learned some things about the makeup of a physician, what physician strengths are, what things come out when they're out of balance. So if you're thinking about it, physicians, particularly surgeons, when they are operating in their craft, many of the decisions they make can have an outcome or a consequence that can be life or death. So you need someone with a certain level of confidence. We would not go to a physician that was not all that confident and said, I may be able to help you when you're under the knife, but we don't know. We'll see. Let's just open you up and see what happens at that point. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't go to that person. So there is a level of confidence that is needed. Now, that confidence out of balance can appear to be arrogance, or actually be arrogance if it's out of balance. But there's a level of confidence that's needed for them to be able to perform their craft. They've also gone to school for a very long time. So just thinking about, we work with, beginning with the residents and fellows, so if you think about those of us that went to college, you go to high school, you go to school for 12 years, you go to college for 4, you may pursue an advanced degree of a master's or a doctorate, but after college for a traditional physician, they go to medical school for 4 years. Then they do residency for at least usually 2 years. Then they do what is called a fellowship if they want to specialize in a particular specialty, for another at least 2 years. And then they train under someone who is already an expert in the field for years after that. So when you're looking at it, and I was counting it up, they go to school for a total of 29 years in order to study their craft. So with that, that comes with a great deal of respect from people. So when we address a physician, very rarely do we address them by their first name. We address them by Dr. So-and-so. So when I inherited this group, I had never been working in healthcare before. So usually when you are addressing a physician, and specifically, or a medical care professional, this includes nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants who also are considered providers now in this time as well, they always are looking for, what is your evidence? What is the evidence-based practice? And that's what traditionally will determine what course of action they will take. So I was tasked with being able to speak into them as someone that they needed to listen to in the area of human resources, in the area of people. So the first thing they typically will do is look in and try to assess you, your experiences, what have you done? I have 29 years of school. What about you? And you're about to tell me something to my good or not to my good. So what I will say is, in Proverbs, I believe it's 18, where it says your gift will make room for you. So we had to heavily rely on the wisdom of God in speaking to physicians. And so I've been with some awesome ones, and some that God will make awesome when they come to connect with him. You can't be a faint of heart when you talk with them. So when you stand before them and you say, Dr. So-and-so, I understand that you called your colleague incompetent. Can you talk to me about that? And then they would say, yes. If you look at, ignorant. You called them ignorant. And yes, they took it some kind of way. But I used ignorant in the terminology, means ignorant means I do not know, or they did not know. They did not know. Therefore, they are ignorant. So, doctor, let's talk a little bit about the impact on the people. So what I bring to the table in that arena is an understanding of people. but you have to be able to create a relationship. So in the beginning, the relationship I created was, there was a few where you could, depending on their personality, where you could dispense advice directly to them. There are some I have never opened my mouth to dispense advice to them personally. I have dispensed advice to their chief or their medical director and said, you say this, and then you say this, and then you ask them this, and then you respond with this. And so when they're talking to someone of like mind, of like specialty, there is an attention that they give to that, and it helps them on their way. And then you build the relationship from there, from the successes. But I say that to say as a side note, but not really. Sometimes we're looking for things from God. We're looking for answers. And it could be on healing. It could be on a number of different things. But sometimes the answer comes in a package that we don't recognize and we don't respect to the level. We might be looking for it from the pastor, but he may have placed the answer in your spouse, or they may have placed the answer in your coach, or they may have placed the answer in your director. So sometimes it's not that God has not answered, and we're going to get to that in a minute. It's the package that we overlooked to be able to have the victory that we need in the area of life that we need it in. So for this, it's just understanding that with physicians, they have all of the experience. And again, that's your care team. That's part of your care team. Your care team can also include and does include nurses. It includes people that are techs, the people that take your temperature, the people that take your blood pressure before the others come in. There's a full team behind the physician, and all of them receive their talent from God. What we want to do is when we go to the doctor, when we do things, we want to be praying that the wisdom of God operates big on their inside. Or if they don't have a relationship with God, that they are open to receive his wisdom. Because his wisdom can come in different packages. It can come from us as the patient in some cases. So just understanding, they're there, they are a resource, but they are not the source. So as it relates to good health and healing, here's the last question. Are there times when God may say no to us? So I just partially answered that question for you. And sometimes we think it's no, and we just weren't looking in the right direction for where the response of yes is coming from. But let's look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:18-20. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So I think that kind of starts to answer the question. Whenever we approach God based on what he has promised, his answer is always an emphatic yes. But let's talk about the thorn in the side, Paul's thorn in the side. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not a case of God saying no to him, but an encouragement for Paul to realize that the grace he had already given him was sufficient for his deliverance. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. Actually, I'm going to, because we talked about that there was this thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan to torment and harass him, to keep from exalting himself. So when we get to verse 8, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, will I all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I don't know how many of you are joining us for the Bible plan. You don't have to raise your hand. I won't ask. But I will say that you can still get in on it for April. We're starting the next month. And we've been reading about the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the tribe of Levi, which included the priests, everyone else received a particular inheritance. But for that tribe, God said, no, I'm not going to give you material things. I will be your inheritance. So they didn't receive money or gold or jewelry or cattle. They did later, but at that point, they received a spirit. They received the spirit. It was sufficient for everything they needed. That spirit became everything they needed, no matter what situation popped up. That spirit transformed into whatever provision was needed at the time. So what I submit to you is that's how God operates in our lives today. He's a spirit. For those of us that have a relationship with him, his Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And that spirit has the answer, the truth, on every matter. It has the provision for any circumstance we find ourselves in. And that includes healing. Healing is available on the inside. And that's all we need to tap into, the wisdom, and be alert to where that wisdom will manifest itself. And oftentimes, it manifests itself in advance. So you may be thinking, I'm handling something right now, and maybe it's because I missed the wisdom on the front end. Does that mean that's it for me? No. God is someone who continuously reaches out. He continuously makes provision. So he continues to make provision in the area of healing. We just need to be able to connect with all the tools that have been given us this month in these messages and how to connect in and receive the healing that God has already given us. So all of this is head knowledge until we do something with it. So I'm going to ask you right now to do something with what we have been learning this month. And it's okay because I'm going to ask you to put something down. But if you don't have a pen, you don't have a paper, go ahead now. If you have that, pull it out. If you don't, go ahead and pull out your phone. Go to the notes section. We're going to put a few notes in, and we're going to start to exercise this muscle of faith as it relates to healing. Now, I can't ask you to do something that I didn't already do, so I already have my notes. I titled this Healing. And what I put there are six people in my life close to me that are now in need of continuing to walk in God's healing. So five of them are family members. One is a coworker. I know you have people in your life too. Go ahead and just write their names down. Start to type it if you're doing it from your phone. Write it down if it's from a book. The people around you that you have maybe been calling and encouraging and speaking to, or maybe you haven't called, maybe you haven't spoken to them yet, but this we can do right now, and that can be the beginning. So go ahead and write them down. Commit to speak life, health, and healing over them for this season. And I'm going to give you about three scriptures to add to that. So when you are praying for them, you can add your own. You can research your own. But here's some to get you started. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. 3 John 1 and chapter 1, verse 2. And 1 Peter 2 and 24. So begin to speak. If you don't, if people don't know enough, you know, you think about it, I'm going to pray, but I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing, or what should I say? It can be speak their name over these scriptures so that they are being rehearsed, not only in your ear, send it to them too. I send it to the people I am praying for so that they can rehearse it themselves as well. So let's just pray for those individuals. But before I do that, we've been talking about the physical. Let's talk a little bit now about the spiritual. Spiritual healing begins with a communication and connection in relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the spiritual healing begins, and it begins to transform all the other areas in our life, like the physical, like the emotional, like the mental. But it begins at the spiritual. So first, I want to be able to pray for those who want a relationship with God. It could be someone here. It could be someone that is online. All we're asking you to do is raise your hand. Or if you're online on the chat, you can go ahead and say, that's me. Put the little hand raised up in the chat. That lets us know that we can include you in on this prayer. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads at this time and just be praying for those that are in relationship with God already. Be praying for someone that may be making that decision right now. If you're here, go ahead and raise your hand here so I can physically see you. But if you're online, putting that hand up, that will be seen as well by those that are monitoring, so that we can continue to declare God's best for your life. Thank you, Lord God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you right now for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you never give up on us. No matter where we are in this journey, you are right beside us, waiting with your hands open, with your heart open to receive us. So there may be some in here or online that are at that level right now, wanting to see what this relationship with you is all about. So we thank you, Lord God, that they are received into your arms, into your relationship, by just saying, I know I don't have all the answers. I know I don't have what it takes by myself to do the things that I know I was created to do. So Lord, I give you control. I turn the reins over to you. I just turn my back on my old way of doing things, and I submit to the authority of you in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, guess what? You're now part of our family. You're part of the family of God. And what you hear a little bit of here of rejoicing, that's nothing compared to the rejoicing that is happening in heaven right now, all for you. But I want to add something to this. Let's go ahead and pray for those that you have written down for healing, continuing to manifest in their lives. Lord God, we thank you for this healing. We thank you that we stand in the gap. We stand in place of those individuals until they can stand before you themselves. We thank you that they continue to be healed, whole, and well, from the top of their head to the crown of their feet. Every part of their bodies, which includes their emotions, their minds, functions, imperfection, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. nullify that now. We speak your word. We speak your healing in their lives and in their situations. We thank you for this day. Glory to your name, Father. We believe you. Hallelujah. 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 So I am thankful and expectation. I expect healing for the six people on my list, and I'm declaring that.